from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the Jaguars Radio Network studios. Jaguars.com Live, episode number 2. JP Shadrick with John Osier. We're back again. We made it for a second show.
And you caught me getting a camera shot of our next guest, Sanderic Marks. So it is Jaguars.com Live.
It is going to be a fantastic show. Sanderic Marks is with us. Adam Kaplan from ESPN and SiriusXM Radio expected to join us about 12:20 today as well. Here's how you can get on the show. Of course, the phone lines will be open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. John, you know, something serious in the way of the sporting happened last night for me.
And I guess you're going to tell us that story.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I was at dinner at a friend's house. We go over. We're having a dinner at the dinner table, right? And
that's where you have dinner.
Right. That's what happens.
Gotcha.
But she likes to garden. She likes self-sufficiency. So she thought the other day, I'm going to go buy some chickens, little chickens. She wants to have eggs, fresh eggs at the house.
Live chickens, you're saying?
Live chickens.
All right, well,
yeah, like $2 each, you know. Right. So there's four little chickens in this cage right by the dinner table. And so she buys the light to keep them warm and the feed thing and the water thing and all this stuff.
She's bought in is what you're saying.
Yeah,
she's
absolutely.
In. Okay, all right.
But forgot one little fact that dogs like chickens. Yeah. And we're sitting there. I'm about halfway through my mashed potatoes, and there's a chicken leg hanging out of old Cooper's mouth in the dining room. And that's when I knew the date was over, John.
Yeah, it's as we said earlier, I think Gus would turn that into a motivational PowerPoint somehow, don't you think, Sanderic?
He might. There's no doubt about that. Let's take a look around the Jaguars this week. Of course, the biggest news for the Jags this week, coaching staff fully hired now. Linebacker coaches are here, athletic trainers. Scott Trulock has been hired as well. Defensive quality control coach announced today. Also, biggest news in the league this week, Michael Sam comes out. We'll get to that a little bit later today and the reaction that has had around the league. And, of course, the Combine coming up next week, the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis happening next week, and we'll be there as well. And we're joined now by our first guest of the day on Jaguars.com Live. We got cords everywhere. Sanderic Marks is here, man. What's up?
What's going on? I thought y'all had a cordless cords in here and cordless computers and all that type of stuff, but got cords all in my way.
We can't live like you live, man.
Nah,
I mean, you didn't sign a new deal. You got all the wireless stuff, man.
Nah, I don't live like that. Still the same old Sanderic.
This is a different feel for you, man. This is obviously you signed the deal now. Last year you were here, but it was a one-year kind of deal. You weren't sure exactly where you were going in free agency, and just a little different feel this year for you, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. I don't even look at it. The only different feel I get is just knowing that, you know, I'll be here for the next 4 years and that I actually got a chance to help start something and create something and knowing exactly what my future holds. That's the only different thing, you know, that's different from this year than last year.
How much does that help your comfort level now, though, Sanderic? Just knowing what defense you're going to be in, knowing how to prepare the next 4 or 5 months to get ready for the season?
It helps a lot. It helps a lot as far as to, I mean, not only knowing exactly where I'll be, but to been and played in the system for a year and to also know all the guys and know what's expected by the coaches. So, you know, it gives me the opportunity to, you know, sometimes step in as, like Coach always say, well, we're going to lead this until you guys take over. Well, it gives us an opportunity to already know exactly what we got going on. And, you know, try to start taking it over from now.
Now, we talked some during the season, but it's a strikingly rare story, probably rarer than it should be, for a guy to do what you did. You signed a one-year deal, sort of knowing this would be a good fit, and you worked out in free agency. When you were going through that last offseason, was it nerve-wracking, or did you have the confidence that, yes, I know this is the right decision, this will work out?
Well, it was nerve-wracking as far as getting to that point. But once I got to the point to where I was offered by Jacksonville, mm-hmm. then it really wasn't nerve-wracking. It was, you know, I do a lot of stuff off my true belief and, I go by faith. And, you know, it's just what I believe in. A lot of people don't do that nowadays. A lot of people, you know, let other people influence the way they think or what they think should happen. But it's your life. You know, it's mine, and I made that choice. And usually when you do that and you go out by faith and you feel like you had it in your heart that you did the right thing, usually it work out for you.
Why is it so hard to find a fit? You fit and you work, but you see so many free agents that it just doesn't mesh.
Well, a lot of them don't. Majority of the times you don't go out and you don't do it by by your true gut feeling. You know, sometimes you go out of where maybe it's for other reasons. And as a professional player, you can't say, well, I don't allow distractions to get in my way when I'm playing, but you allow, you know, where you go in and you only go to this team because of the money, or you only go to this team because they have a chance of winning. So those are like distractions within your decision. You know, I made my decision off true faith where I thought I would fit, and a lot of people don't do that. So, I mean, if a lot of people make their decision off their gut feeling or what they go down and they see, oh, this system, it fits me. I love this coach. We can get things going, and I understand what goes on around me. Then I think they'll make better decisions with it.
Cinderic Marks is with us on Jaguars.com live on Jaguars.com. You can reach us at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Oger. Hey, Sin, we got a question from social media. I know you're a big Twitter guy, aren't you, though, right?
I've been doing it lately. Well, I've been into Twitter about a year, if I'm not mistaken, probably a little bit more than that. So I'm still rather new to it.
And the handle, what's your handle?
Number nine. Yeah, I didn't change it because then you got to go by and get it verified and all that crazy stuff. So I don't know how to do all that yet.
Well, here's a question. I know you're in working out, and that's part of the deal in the off season. You come here almost every day, right? To work.
Yeah, you
out.
Know, I come here. I got to stay fit. Yeah. Got to look nice. This don't happen overnight.
Fair enough. This question from at SamJose1. Speaking of working out, how much can you bench press, Sin?
I'm not a big bench presser. I haven't maxed out in a while. You know, once you get to a certain point in your career, majority of the time once you get in the NFL, you usually don't max out, you know, anymore. You do a lot of that in college. I wouldn't even be able to throw out a number like that.
What do you do on a normal day? I mean, if you're in there just working out.
Well, if I'm in that, if we're in off-season training, usually when you lift the most I'll probably do is probably about 265 or something like that and do it for reps. It's more, you know, about building the muscle and then, you know, just trying to pump it up or lifting all the weights you can lift. I mean, you could tear a pec or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not even about maxing out. It's about maintaining and just getting a little bit stronger to make sure you can maintain your flexibility and, you know, go out throughout the season.
This is another that's somewhat similar to this question from Alfie BCC, a guy we know very well, of course. Team pie or team cake for you? Pie or cake?
Pie. I'm a Southern guy. I'm not a big cake guy. I'm not big on the icing. And if I was to get a cake, I don't want as much icing on it. So, I mean, I'm a big pie guy, you know, like pecan pie, blueberry pie, you know. I'm getting kind of hungry, and I'm ready for lunch, too.
You haven't eaten yet today.
I haven't eaten yet. But, yeah, I'm more of a pie guy.
That's fair.
You probably are, too, JP.
I am also. Absolutely. Yeah, pie. I mean, I don't discriminate. I eat them both. I'll be quite honest with you. So Derek Marks is with us on Jaguars.com live. Another question coming in. This is more about the coaching from Eric. Mm-hmm. Eric, what's the biggest difference between Gus and some other head coaches you've had in your career? Is there something that just stands out about him?
You know, it has to be just him as a person, first off, is what stood out to me when I came here. When you look at it and you want to look at it from a football perspective, a lot of times it's hard to get, like, certain reads on certain people. You know, it's like anybody in a regular workplace. You know, if you hang out with somebody outside of the workplace, you think different of what you thought from them when you work with them or in the workplace. But with Gus, I mean, it's just the type of guy that he is. I mean, every time you see people, they talk about Gus, they say, wow, he's a great guy. He's always upbeat and he's always positive. And I tell him, I was like, well, he's like that every single day. Mm-hmm. I'm actually waiting on the meltdown. When is it going to happen? When is he going to actually sit down and he's going to go off on somebody? You know, but that's just the type of guy he is. And to add that with, you know, his football knowledge and just the way that he organized, you know, our organization, I mean, just speak to what a great man he is, plus, you know, the football IQ and his knowledge of the game.
And players can see through that pretty quick if it's not real. I mean, by
0-7
or 0-8, you would have seen a different side, right?
Oh, yeah. You would have. Usually, on majority of a lot of teams, you'll see that side. And, you know, majority of the time, it's because, I mean, he's a man. He has a job also, and he can be fired also. So a lot of times, you know, coaches is like, man, I can be fired. Or, you know, people, you know, sometimes they try to get ahead of themselves or – I don't know what I'm looking for.
Well,
I
mean, it's the getting ahead of yourself that's interesting because he stayed true to it all season, didn't he? He stayed true to what he was.
He stayed true to himself. And it was like he didn't let nothing outside, you know, shaped the way that he thought about where he wanted the team to go. He actually had a vision. And, you know, now I've read a lot. And, you know, when you have a vision and you really think you're working to get towards that, you don't let a lot of distractions, you know, alter you off of that right. path that you're going. And he didn't. He didn't allow it. He wasn't going to tolerate it. And I think everything turned out to be going in good form for us.
Speaking of, we talked about your handle a while ago on Twitter, mm-hmm. number 94. That's not your number here.
No, it ain't no more.
Well, but, it's available, last I heard, right?
What?
94, right?
Yeah, it is available.
So are you going to change it?
Nah, I'm not going to change it. I'm cool with the 99. Actually, I got the number 99 from when I did the poll, you know, when I just asked, like, what number should I get? And it ended up being a poll on social media and on the internet. And I also had a middle school did a poll on it, and they chose 99. And so that's the reason I went with 99, and I'm going to stick with it.
What do you expect the rest of this offseason here? You guys are back officially, what, in April, I guess, for the program. You're just working out. You're here in town. Are you going back to Mobile for a little bit? What's going on with you now?
Oh, man, I don't do nothing. I sit in the house. I play golf. That's about it. I come in and I work out. That's about all I do. Sit around, play, you know, Xbox. And that's just the type of stuff that I'm into. You know, I enjoy fishing and I enjoy golfing a lot. But as far as anything else, I come up here and work out in the morning, go home, probably do a little bit of nothing.
Except for the working out part, you just described J.P. Shadrick's day.
Yeah, that's what I like to do.
You got to do more than that. You got to do more than that. But I'm not a big guy on going out trying to find something to do. I usually just sit at home, watch TV, read a book, and you know, come in and work out. That's probably the majority of my day.
Sin, we really appreciate it. I hope you're not a stranger around here. We're going to try this every Wednesday, so we might call you back in again at some point.
I talk a lot. I think you know that. I talk a lot. The only thing I have problems with sometimes if I'm on a live show is sometimes it's hard for me to figure out what I'm trying to say.
Oh, well,
so I get stuck every now and then. So I probably don't need to be on y'all live show.
Well, we'll take you anytime you want to come. We're here every Wednesday, so swing on it. We can have the Sin Derek Marks Corner. How about that?
Let's start that. Let's start something like that.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Sin, thanks a lot. Enjoy lunch, will you?
Thank you.
Sin Derek Marks heading upstairs right now for lunch and working out. Joining us, number 9 foe on Twitter as well. It's time to talk tickets. Jaguars Ticket Office accepting deposits for 2014 now. Call 633-2000. You can speak with a representative or visit jaguars.com for more information. Look at this home schedule. Of course, 7 of those games are here at Everbank Field. Indy, Tennessee, Houston, Miami, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and the New York Giants will be here. That Dallas game is at Wembley Stadium in London this year. Of course, a reminder to current season ticket holders, brochures and invoices will be emailed this year only, not through regular U.S. mail. They won't have it, so keep an eye on your email inbox for the latest on your account. Should be any time. They were saying mid-February before. John?
I've got a tweet. Yeah. Alfie missed the question. He just tweeted out, was Mark's team cake or pie? I missed it. If you're going to ask the question, listen to the show.
That's unbelievable.
It was pie, by the way, and so was Shatter.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Come on, Alfie. Make a play.
This is Jaguars.com Live. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We're taking Twitter questions as well, at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, and at John Osher as well. Obviously, the Jaguars hired some coaches this week. The coaching staff has been filled out. That's the biggest news around here. Robert Saleh is the new linebackers coach, assistant linebackers coach, Scotty Hazleton, Scott Trulock, the new athletic trainer, and today Dan Shamish is the new defensive quality control coach. At least moving forward for the combine, the most important of those four for the next week was athletic trainer in Indianapolis, and they got that done.
Well, and you need to have that done by the combine because there's so much communication that has to go on between Dave, between Gus, between the trainer. And, you know, Mike Ryan had been here a long time, and I sort of knew the ins and outs of the building, you know, I guess without thinking about it. Scott Trulock will come in. I talked to him on Tuesday. Solid guy. He's known Mike a long time. I don't think it'll be a very tough transition at all.
Yeah, he comes from the University of North Carolina. Actually worked with Tom Oslinski for a little bit there when Milo was up in Chapel Hill. And, of course, Trulock has a number of years in the NFL as well. Linebacker coaches, Saleh with 9 years in the league, the last three with Seattle, 6 years with Houston before that. Hazleton has some time with Gus Bradley and Bob Babich at North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. He was a grad assistant at NDSU back when they were both coaching there, so he has a little bit of a history there.
And I think the familiarity is important.
Yeah, sure. You know,
Robert Saleh comes in. He doesn't have to be taught this scheme. He doesn't have to be taught how to teach the linebackers. The linebackers who are here, Geno Hayes and Paul Posluszny especially, they know the scheme. Now you've got a guy who already knows it. He can hit the ground running. I think it's important as a fit.
Of course, the biggest news in the National Football League this week is about a player not yet in the league. John Michael Sam out of Missouri comes out this week in an interview with the New York Times. Mm-hmm. A really well-orchestrated PR move, actually, by his representation and him and a lot of these folks kept it secret until it was just unveiled all of a sudden.
Well,
and it was really well done.
And from reading about it, he strikes you as a guy who his teammates in Missouri, it sounds like most of them knew, wasn't an issue. His personality and the way he played was far more important to them than anything else. And as long as he brings that into the NFL, which is no indication that he won't, I think the transition to the NFL will be a lot smoother than maybe people who aren't familiar with the league would think.
Sure. Does this, though, this announcement, will it affect draft status? Can it go that far where GMs and folks in draft rooms say, you know what, let's just kind of think twice on this?
It can a little bit. I think if he was a first or second round pick, meaning a guy who when you put him on the board, it is clear that he is better than player X, he's 27 and he's a lot better than the 29th guy. If you knew what kind of impact he would make, then I think it would not affect it perhaps. As a fourth or fifth round pick, there are a lot of guys who are graded in the same area. So it's a chance that you could see GMs go, you know what? These two guys or these four or five guys are equal. It's just easier for us not to deal with whatever might be a distraction. You might see that a little bit because he's a later round pick. But I also think he's going to get a chance to play. He's probably going to be drafted in the later rounds, which is where he was projected anyway. Once he gets into the league, I don't think it will be a daily distraction, a daily issue, as long as he can play. If you can play in this league, a lot of other things go away.
J.P. Shadrick, John Osier.
Potential distractions.
Sure, absolutely. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Jaguars.com live. And that brings us to his situation at the Combine
sure.
next week in Indianapolis. Of course, we'll be there, but you see the likes of the media scrum around mm-hmm. Cam Newton a couple of years ago. After all that situation right. down in Auburn. Last year, Manti Te'o was the big, big story after the fake girlfriend fiasco.
Right.
This has the potential to be much bigger than that, right?
It'll be huge, and it will be the scene that everybody's used to seeing around the Combine. He'll be on a podium, and there'll be a million cameras around and a million reporters trying to get the question in. But once that's out of the way, then he'll get drafted. He won't be a first-round pick. He'll be a fourth- or fifth-round pick, most likely. I think that may be really the last huge media scrum around him, after which it becomes an issue, but it won't be a press conference, you know, for lack of a better word, circus sort of atmosphere at that point. And again, I don't know Michael Sam. From everything that you've seen about the guy, he is very mature and very confident with himself, and he has a plan for how to handle this. So next week at the Combine will be certainly a major area of focus. But I think once that passes, I think you'll see this. It will still be a story because it has to be a story, but I think it will be a much more manageable story after next week.
Jaguars.com live. Yeah, there's no doubt about that, John. And that it'll be interesting to watch next week in Indy because we know I think last year was the record number of credentials for the Combine. I think that just keeps going up every year.
Yeah, and it's going to go up this year because not only do you have Michael Sam, but you have Johnny Manziel, who, whatever his draft status is going to turn out to be, is going to be a major rock star story at the Combine. You're going to see media there to cover that story that you wouldn't see in a normal year, probably similar to Tim Tebow a few years back, where there is just interest off the field in this guy. Plus, you have Clowney. Plus, you have a lot of quarterbacks near the top of the draft. So there will be those scenes that we've all seen of a million cameras around the Combine, you know, around a guy at the podium all getting the same shot. It'll be all the expected questions, and the player will come off afterward and have the relieved look on his face and be carted off by NFL media.
Sure.
I mean, or by NFL PR. There will be those scenes, which is what the Combine has become about in the last 10 years.
No doubt. We'll be there on Tuesday. Our coverage begins right here on Jaguars.com Tuesday from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. We'll be live from the media center each day, including this show live next week. How about that?
Jaguars.com live on location.
That'll be coverage of the Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley press conferences as well, interviews with national guests, and much, much more. Tuesday afternoon right here on Jaguars.com is when it starts, sponsored by Turner Pest Control. If you demand the best, go with Turner Pest. And, of course, Dave Caldwell's presser will be noon on Thursday the 20th. And from what I understand, we'll be carrying that live as well. Gus Bradley will be Friday of that week. At noon also from Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, that's going to be neat because on the website next week, you know, I think fans are going to get a feel for sort of how the Combine really plays out. You read about the Combine, you see it on TV. We're going to have a lot of live hits. So you're going to get a feel for the energy and sort of the pace of this event. And it's become an event that I covered my first one, I believe, in 2001. It is a drastically changed event. It was the media was all housed in a very small room, you know, 12 or 13 years ago, and now you're talking about hundreds of credentials. You're talking about a lot of draft nicks, a lot of draft websites there. It is a much different scale than it was 12 or 13 years ago. And even 12 or 13 years ago, it was a much different scale than it had been 4 or 5 years before. So the NFL does a masterful job at creating off-season events out of, you know, supposedly thin air, and the Combine is certainly one of those. I have a Twitter question.
Oh, hit me.
All right.
Yeah.
From actually, it's from NFL Draft. It's a draft question. And it says, can you talk about the Leo position as a free agency target? Beyond marquee names, how about Jason Worlds and Everson Griffin? And Worlds is from the Steelers. Everson Griffin is from the Vikings. Mm-hmm. They're both very logical fits for free agency. As we talked about Sendarek, it's very tough to know how free agency is going to play out. You can talk about a lot of names now. And there's going to be no guarantees once free agency hits March 11th. But these are both guys who could be fits for the Leo position. Griffin had 5.5 sacks last season, 17.5 in 3 seasons. He'll be 26. Worlds had 8 sacks last season, 18 in 4 seasons. He'll also be 26. It's the 26-year-old part that makes a lot of sense. It's right in the range that you want to sign guys for free agents. So it's hard to predict free agency, but those would be guys that would make sense at least to explore. And it's the exploring part of free agency that's important. You have to do your homework, and you have to not reach.
No doubt about it. J.P. Shattuck with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live. Speaking of free agency, let's go to the phone lines now. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We're joined by reporter for the ESPN Insiders.
Our guy.
Might know him little bit. Adam Kaplan is with us. Adam, how are you?
Gentlemen, I am well. I am actually at the Eagles Complex here in beautiful but cold South Philadelphia. We're expecting another foot of snow overnight. Other than that, I'm great.
That's routine for you, though, right, Adam? I mean, you can get home without any problem.
Well, you know what? I only live about a half an hour from the complex, but we've had the worst winter of my lifetime. Last year, I think we got 4 inches of snow. This year, I think we got like 40 feet. But it is football weather, though, and we are getting dangerously close to free agency. How about that?
No doubt. We were talking about free agency just a moment ago. Of course, the most important position on the field, certainly in Jacksonville, everybody's talking about quarterback. Are any of the free agent quarterbacks in play this year, at least around here, you think?
Well, here's why I think the Jaguars want Chad Henne back. If you look at the group of available unrestricted free agent quarterbacks, It's so bad. There's really not a bona fide 16-game starter, and I'm including Chad Henne. I'm including Michael Vick. No team would sign these guys and say, okay, we know this guy will be our starter for 16 games. They're part of the puzzle. They're part of the competition. That's why I think the Jags want Chad Henne back. He is what we would call a bridge quarterback. He's a guy that you bring back. You see what he can do in the competition. If he wins it, you know him well. He understands your offense, but in the end, you're drafting a quarterback because you know he's not the future at the position. But the bottom line is the Jags are in great cap space. They could do whatever they would need to do in free agency, but you got to be careful there. Free agency is pretty much fool's gold. But getting back to Chad Henne, this is a guy they know, and I think it would be prudent for them to re-sign him.
And it's interesting, Adam, that's the exact word that Dave Caldwell has used about Henne a couple of times is as a bridge player. They like him, and if they can put some pieces around that quarterback, they feel like he can get him through until there's a quote-unquote franchise guy at that position.
Yeah, now, John, what you have to decide is it's sort of that franchise guy in this draft. Now you've got, of course, Blaine Gabbert, who's right now still on the roster. You don't really have anyone else to look at. But is there really someone out there in this draft that you see as a franchise quarterback? When you talk to executives around the league, there's not that one guy. So whoever that rookie, or as Shad Khan said, rookies they draft at the position of quarterback, I don't know if that guy's going to come in right away and be, A, handed the job, and B, if he's in the competition, you don't know when he's going to be ready. So I think if they do re-sign Chad Henne, I think there's a good possibility it happens. If they're able to do that, I think you got to figure for the early part of the season, Chad Henne's probably going to be the guy.
And then there's the dilemma, of course, if you're a GM who knows you got to have a franchise guy, how long do you wait? Do you go second or third round with a guy if you don't really believe that he's the guy? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you don't force it. Now, that's a great question, which I think owners sometimes don't understand. You can't just draft a guy to draft a guy, because then you're not seeing the big picture. It's not about value. It's about need. If Dave Caldwell tells the owner, hey, listen, here's our plan. Here's our grades. We do not see a first-round grade on any of these quarterbacks, and don't draft them. And simple as that. It's the reason why they didn't draft Geno Smith last year.
And is that not the thing?
Round grade on the guy.
Sorry, Adam.
You've got to be careful with that. Now, when you don't have a first-round grade on quarterback, you don't force it. And that's the thing that owners sometimes don't understand. Shad could say, hey, we it's not a secret. We might draft two quarterbacks. That's fine. But you don't have to draft them very early.
And that's the thing, isn't it, that causes most franchises, most GMs to fail the quickest, isn't it? If you go for a guy that you don't believe is the guy.
Right, but it doesn't mean you can't take a guy, a developmental guy, like Garoppolo, who I think would be a great fit in a West Coast offense, who I saw at the East-West game at the Senior Bowl, who to me is a third or fourth round pick, a developmental quarterback, and let a guy like Henne, you kind of handle the reins for at least a little bit. Mm-hmm. But what they have to do, at the very least, is create competition. There was not a good enough competition last year. They need to up that. I think the Eagles, where I am today, I think the Eagles did a great thing of opening it up with Michael Vick and Nick Foles. And you saw, before Michael Vick got hurt, he played fairly well. Then Nick Foles set some records which were pretty interesting. He had a great season. And there's nothing wrong with competition. Should be at every position, quite frankly.
ESPN NFL Insider, SiriusXM radio host Adam Kaplan is with us live on Jaguars.com live. Adam, another Jaguar that is going into free agency is running back Maurice Jones-Drew. What have you heard about teams kind of thinking about him? It's a little early, but what are your thoughts on Mojo going into free agency now?
I think what's going to happen there is, I think if he does get out, if he's able to chop himself around, which is the most likely scenario, I think he's going to be part of a two-man backfield. I don't think at this point in his career someone's going to sign him and say, you're our guy, you're not going to share the football. I don't see that happening. I think he's going to be part of a two-man backfield where he may be the lead guy, but you might see a 60-40 split, 65-35. But I think I still think he's got two productive years left. I know how prideful he is and how tough he is, but I think we would all admit his better days are behind him. And that's yet another position. Now I have like 8 or 9 for the Jaguars that of need. You can't get him solved in one draft or even two, but that's one position running back the Jaguars are going to need to address.
Give me 3 free agents out there, Adam, that, it's such a crapshoot on who's going to work and who's not. Just give me your top 3 guys that you like that maybe other people aren't talking about a whole lot.
Michael Johnson, and I'm going to try to
sure.
Give you a view of what I think the Jaguars need, and then I'll tie them into the players. So I think Michael Johnson would be a great fit of the Bengals. Really good football player. Started his career as a strong side linebacker. Worked his way up to play defensive end. He's a tall, angular guy with good get-off, high character guy, real good hands. And I know, knowing the Bengals coaches, that they're big on technique. He's real physical. I mentioned on the NFL Insider show last week, though, that the money that he's going to command is going to take some people out of the equation. He's probably looking at a deal $8 to $10 million a year. If you check the available unrestricted free agents, he's the top guy. He's certainly the top guy on my list. But and I know the Jaguars have a ton of cap space. You got to be careful. When you go into free agency, you're signing someone else's player, if not yours. But he would be a guy that I think the Jaguars have to do their homework on. But a guy like Earl Mitchell of the Texans, who I absolutely love. To me, he's really not, he's still a little bit too small to play in the traditional 3-4. To me, the Jaguars need competition deep tackle. We know that Marks is back. I mean, he's been a great free agency find for them, but I think they need that competition. I like Earl Mitchell. I think he would be a better fit in a 43. But I think the Michael Johnson one makes sense. And by the way, there are going to be players released that are going to surprise some people. Not that I think the Bears want to release Julius Peppers now, but his cap number is over $18 million, so they have to redo that. They can't reach an agreement. At 33 years old, he becomes free. He'll be humming a little bit if he gets cut. I think at some point the Jaguars need to add veteran depth, guys who are proven players. We'll switch over to offense. Emmanuel Sanders, I think, would be a great fit for the Jaguars' offense. They run a West Coast, run after the catch. That's what Emmanuel Sanders is. He's a run-after-the-catch guy. I think he'd be a great sweeper finder. He's not going to cost a ton of money, probably $4 to $5 million a year. He also, I believe, is switching agents, if I'm not mistaken. I think the tight end position, that's one where it's not very good at free agency, but I think they badly need to develop a young tight end in back of Mercedes Lewis. I think corner-wise, I know that Gus Bradley likes length. I think he needs athletes. I think you'll find those athletes in the draft, not so much in free agency. And they need to get a little bit bigger on a linebacker and a little bit faster and more athletic. But you asked me for some names. I think Emmanuel Sanders makes a ton of sense to me. That's one guy where you look at receiver at free agency, not going to cost you a ton of money, and I think you can help them right away.
That's all the Jags need? I mean, that's all you have for us? I mean, my goodness.
I mean, I could go running back. I could go quarterback. Well, we did that. I could go kind of pass rushers if you want, but we don't have a long day here. I mean, I can't go half an hour here, but I could tell you this. It's buyer beware. The Jags have a ton of money, which is a good thing, but free agency to me is fool's gold. You just have to be careful with the way that you're spending it. But and also, another thing, they need to add a competition on the interior of their offensive line. I know, talk to the executives around the league, when they look at tape of the Jaguars last season, that's one thing that more than one person said to me.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line also needs upgrading. I mean, Dave Caldwell got a 5-year contract, and then for a good reason. He has an enormous job ahead of him. He's got a great temperament. He knows what he needs to do. Fans just have to be patient. He's going to build it the right way.
Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider, host on Sirius XM Radio, joining us from Philadelphia. Adam, thanks for your time today and your insight. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Adam, thank you.
Adam Kaplan joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Hey, remember tomorrow night, Jaguars Thursday on the radio airwaves here in Jacksonville, AM 690, 104.5 FM. That's WOKV. Tomorrow at 6, Brian Sexton, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman, and exquisitely produced by Joe Fortunato. That's tomorrow right here in this studio on WOKV.
Nice job, Adam.
He's very good. Obviously very good. He just signed, I think, a new deal with ESPN, so he's going to be there for a while now and obviously has some insight of what's going on and works very hard at what he's done. For a long time.
I think the key points, to take from that, interior offensive line obviously is something that they're going to focus very hard on in free agency, try to get something done there, if not in the draft. And absolutely, if you've heard us talk about it once, you talk about it a million times, you have to be careful in free agency. Do your research and not overdo it. You're not going to fix everything in 1 year, even in free agency.
One thing we do need to mention before we go away, the Roar auditions, March 22nd. The finals are March 29th. Register by March 10th on Jaguars.com. Go to the cheerleader section, and you can do that. John, nice hat.
You weren't wearing it, so I had to go with it.
Well, it was in the set.
I had to take control. Sometimes you got to take control, Jay.
I need to wear a hat. You don't need to wear a hat.
Fair enough.
Great show, always.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you later. Hey, Senior VP of Communications for the Jaguars is Dan Edwards. Jaguars.com producer Patrick Cavanaugh. Jaguars manager of radio Joe Fortunato. Digital media manager Chris Burdett. Digital media producer John Casco. Social media coordinator Brandon Natus. Thanks to Sid-Erik Marks and Adam Kaplan. And for John Osher and everyone involved, this is J.P. Chadwick. We'll see you next week in Indianapolis on Jaguars.com Live.